Okay, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So we have some newcomers. We'll catch you up very quickly. Last week we began studying this Sefer Alei Shur, this work by Rav Shlomo Bowlby. And we spoke about how we are working on our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on ourselves, on really thinking about addressing who we are as people and Ovdei Hashem, and using this text of the Alei Shur as a way of reflecting for ourselves to get our week started. So last week, we started this chapter, the fifth chapter, Yimei Ha'ava V'Yimei HaSinah V'Hayiyush, the days of love and the days of hate and despair. And we spoke about how in life, the Rabbeinu Tam teaches us that things run cyclically. So we have times when things are going well, and then we have times when things are not going so well. And because we can anticipate from the beginning that sometimes things are not going to be so good, we're not going to despair when we hit kind of the low point, because we know this is the way it goes. Sometimes things aren't doing so well, and then they'll come back further. And how that, it applies throughout all aspects of our lives. Obviously, this is true in the way that he's discussing it in our terms of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we have a relationship with God, but sometimes that relationship gets a little bit frayed for various reasons. What did Rabbeinu Tam teach us? He said, even if that relationship, even if you're not feeling Yimei Ahava, the time of love at that time, don't abandon your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even at times when it's challenging. He says you might want to lift the foot from the pedal a little bit, but don't leave it entirely. And then he concluded with the idea, you know, what are the ways that we can think about of making sure that relationship stays fresh? And that is innovating in different ways and changing things up. And maybe, and we need to be creative. Sometimes we get stuck in a very specific way of looking at things or a specific way of doing things, and that it's important to keep changing things up. So today, you see there's on the left-hand column, after the three little stars, there's a new theme, a new perspective that Rav Olvi introduces to us about when things are down, when we do struggle. There should be a few more sheets floating around. He says, "Vegam." I'm on line H on the left-hand side. "Vegam behatkif hayetzer kashos." And what happens when the yetzer hara really does get us down? When we really are struggling? When we're struggling, whether it's in our davening, in our relationships with others, sometimes we're struggling with ourselves. You know, we can think about our life, certainly our avodas Hashem, on three planes. This is introduced to us by the Vilna Gaon in his commentary on the Tanakh, that there is bein adam lamakom, there's our relationship and our connection that's direct between us and Hashem. So davening would be a good example of that, because it doesn't affect anybody else. It's just between us and Hashem. It's a private conversation. Then there's bein adam lachavero, the way that we treat other people. And then there's bein adam laatzmo, a person and themselves. That has to do with character development. That has to do with the kind of person that I am when nobody else is looking. And it's not about something that I'm doing for Hashem. It's just about what kind of person I am. So the Yetzer Hara, he has many different disguises, and he attacks, and he relates to, and he somehow has this pernicious way of eating away, of challenging us in all these different areas. So whenever you go through a piece like this, you can always think about it on those three levels. And everybody has their own struggle, so you personalize it. So he says, when this happens, when we struggle, Ein lehisyayish ulehit atzbein, do not despair. And in modern Hebrew, lehit atzbein means to get anxious. You know, some people, and it's an amazing perspective of piety, that when they're in a bad place in their avodas Hashem, they become depressed, or they have anxiety. And that comes from a great place, because the person is really concerned about their relationship with Hashem and who they are and what they're doing. But Rav Olvi says you have to be very careful about that. You know, you want to become somebody who's serious about your avodas Hashem, but you don't want to slip into a place where you have a depression or anxiety. So he says something very interesting here. He says, "Kidafka mitoch," moving to line I, Hatkafosav shel hayetzer hinenu lomdim bameh aleinu lavod ubameh anu noadim l'shleimus. So he has a very interesting idea that where the attacks of the Yetzer Hara are found, we can learn hinenu lomdim for what, in what areas we can work, and this is an interesting suggestion, for what we are destined for shleimus, for making ourselves whole. So one word of introduction. So he's going to quote here a piece from Reb Tzadok, which is a very powerful piece, we'll see in a second. Sometimes these things have a measure of uncertainty. So I'm not a very big certain person. I have a lot of uncertainty. I'm okay with that. Some people don't like that. Some people don't like uncertainty. But I'm okay with the fact that a lot of times in life we live with uncertainty. So he's talking about Yetzer Hara challenges, but the truth is it's part of challenges in general. When a person faces challenges, at least from my small understanding, there is a lot of uncertainty because we don't know why those challenges are being presented to us. Is it a Schar V'Onesh model that we're being challenged because we're being punished for something, or is it nothing to do with Schar V'Onesh? It has to do with, the Gemara talks about Yisurin Shalava or Mazel or all kinds of other things. That's a difficult thing to pin down. You know, the obvious, easiest place to use an example of this is the Shoah. So recently I was discussing, because some of you know I do some discussions about the Shoah, we do some research. So I was invited for a group of students here in the community to talk about the Shoah and Emunah. So we talked about different religious responses to the Holocaust. So we talked about Schar V'Onesh and whether or not that works for people. So for some people, if that works for you, if you could sleep at night with that, no problem, you can find plenty of makoros, you can sleep at night, that's good. For a lot of people, that doesn't work. And there are different ways of looking at the Holocaust, and that's obviously the biggest, most enormous question mark you could ever ask. So after I did this presentation, one of the staff members who was in that presentation was quiet during the presentation, saw me later in the week, and they said to me that they were very troubled by what I said. They were troubled because, well, if I move away from Schar V'Onesh, then what does it mean in the Chumash that, you know, the Tochacha says if we do this, then we'll get that, and if we don't do this, then we won't get that? You know, are we, when you move away from the model of Schar V'Onesh, are you gutting the relevance of what the Torah is telling us? So I said to him, I don't think so. Two reasons. Number one, even if you believe in Schar V'Onesh, that doesn't necessarily mean that you can necessarily know, unless you are the Ribbono Shel Olam's accountant. It's very difficult to be a guaranteed person who knows what the Ribbono Shel Olam is doing and why he's doing it. But also, there are many other models and perspectives in Chazal about dealing with challenges that still that don't take away from the fact, that still reinforce the fact that when something happens, we need to introspect and we need to improve. But that doesn't necessarily mean we can hinge the Holocaust on a Schar V'Onesh model. You know, it's interesting, and I'll close this as much. We could spend a lot more time on this. But if you look, there is he's in Boston, but he has family here in Chicago. Nehemiah Polin, his in-laws are the Wolfs, Reverend Wolf. You have to always bring it back to Chicago. That I know. So if you quote anybody, you have to say, well, they have family in Chicago. So he wrote a great book, an analysis of the drushes of the P.S. Etzner during the war, and he notes the P.S. Etzner's drushes are a lot about suffering, as you could very well imagine. But he notes how in the beginning of the war, the P.S. Etzner talks a lot about Schar V'Onesh in the ghetto. And then as you move on in the war, he stops talking about Schar V'Onesh. Because what he's seeing or what he's experiencing is so beyond what anybody could ever imagine in the world of Schar V'Onesh. So that he has different themes. He talks about Rabbi Akiva and Mesiras Nefesh, but he doesn't talk about Schar V'Onesh. So when this staff person was talking to me, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking about the P.S. Etzner. You know, that's not so simple. But the reason I bring all of this up is because, on the one hand, when things happen that cause us challenges, we don't necessarily know why they're happening to us. And I could wonder if that's the same thing for the Yetzer Hara. You know, maybe the Yetzer Hara, maybe the struggle that I'm having has nothing to do with me. Maybe it has something to do with somebody else. But the danger of that uncertainty approach, which I think is healthy in certain places, is that it could lead to missing a key opportunity that Rav Volbi is pointing out for us. Meaning, if we always say, well, It's not me. You ever notice that there are people out there who their relationships with 10 people all disintegrate, and they're like, oh, it's not me. Those 10 people are all crazy. When all the people around us are crazy, we start looking in the mirror, and we start to say, well, maybe it is me. Well, we should start thinking that. Maybe it is me. Maybe it's something that I can be learning from. So, on the one hand, it's okay to live with uncertainty. On the other hand, if a person doesn't introspect based on what's happening around them, so they're living in la-la land, and they're never going to improve. You know, those 10 friends who disappeared from their life, they may have disappeared for a reason. And maybe we need to think about that. So what he's about to describe now, he says that the Yetzer Hara, when we struggle with something, he's struggling in a place where we actually have growth potential. So I can't tell you why this is my Yetzer Hara. I don't know why this is my Yetzer Hara. Some people have a Yetzer Hara that they're very self-absorbed. And some people have that, that's not an issue for them. But they eat Lashon Hara for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That's like, that's their thing. And some people, they can't daven. You know, everybody, we all have our things. Some of us have more than others. And we can't, we don't necessarily know why it is that any person has any particular challenge. We don't know why. But what we do know, Rav Volbe says, is that we can learn from that challenge. We can grow from that challenge. So he says, go to line, what comes after I? H-I-J. Even a simple understanding can understand. Ki hayetzer matkif, the Yetzer Hara, it strikes us dafka benekuda, specifically in the point asher ba anu ru'im l'shleimus, where we are fit to perfect ourselves. That can be interpreted in two ways: either in a place where this is our mission to perfect ourselves, or this is an opportunity to perfect ourselves. This is an area that needs work. And now he teaches us the teaching from Rav Tzadok HaKohen. Rav Tzadok HaKohen Rabinovich, he was one of the great Hasidic masters at the turn of the 20th century. So now Rav Volbe is going to quote a section. Go to line, the end of line K, where he opens the parentheses, quotation marks. Kol Adam Yeshlo Chemda Miuchedes. Every person has their own desire. Uber oso davar shechemdaso v'tavaso goveres biyoser. A person, when they see that their desire and their motivation is goveres biyoser, is overwhelmingly powerful, meaning some people, they love the spotlight. They absolutely want to be in the center, they like to be in the school play, they like to be in the middle of the conversation, they like to be in the center. And that's constantly driving them, how they go through life. So he says, when you have such an experience, and it plays itself out, of course, in a myriad of different ways, everybody knows in their own life, he says, "Bedavar ze atzmo," in this thing itself, "hu kli," the person is a vessel, "muchan lekabel berchas Hashem, im yashiv el Hashem b'chol libo." If the person takes this back to the root of everything, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then that person has now channeled the energy that they run with into their service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he goes further. Kol echad yeda. Everybody knows, everybody should know, shebameh sheyitzro tokfo biyoser, in that area that their Yetzer Hara makes them the most challenged, who kli muchan laosam hadvarim biyoser, he is a vessel that is fit for receiving things more lios nikiyim v'zakim etzlo. And he says something even further. It's kind of a radical idea. Uvidvarim lam on line M-N-O-P. No, N. You know, O. O, thank you. I should put all the letters. Udvarim shehir balav shabahem yeda, and a person who struggles a lot and fell down a lot in a particular area. Yeda yishino, shu klimuchon lios dafka ba'oso davar naki ubar levav. In that area specifically, the person has the ability to rise above and to perfect themselves. It's quite counterintuitive. You might think, if this is an area that I struggle with, so I'm going to run away from it like the plague, because that's obviously not my thing. But he's saying, no. You should interpret that as your thing. That's your mission to conquer that. The Vilna Gaon writes also in one of his comments on Sefer Mishlei, he says the purpose of life is to be able to clear the hurdles that we haven't yet cleared. Lishbor mashalov shavrad hina. And if a person doesn't clear challenges, if he doesn't, he or she doesn't face challenges, doesn't have challenges, so the Gra says, lama lo chayim. Why should the person live? The whole point of living, he says, is to grow through our experiences. So Reb Tzadok is saying even further, he's saying that we should look at that place as the opportunity for us to become magnified. I once heard from one of the members of Rav Moshe Feinstein's family, Zichron Levracha, that he told them, you know, Rav Moshe was known to be arguably the greatest posek in America, but he was also exceedingly patient and very kind with people. So he once told one of the members of his family in his later years, he said, you should know, the truth is that by nature, I'm a very tough person. And I have a really nasty, short temper. He said, but I recognize that this is my goal in life, which is to try to work on myself, that I shouldn't lose my temper. So I have for many decades focused on training myself to be more patient. So not only was Rav Moshe a patient person, but Rav Moshe was known to be the patient person. That became his trademark. You know, there's a great biography, a beautiful art school biography of Rav Moshe Feinstein called Rav Moshe. There was a woman who lived on the Lower East Side. Apparently, she used to call Rav Moshe every Friday afternoon. This man was getting shilohs from all over the world, didn't have 10 seconds to breathe. She would call him every Friday to find out what time Hadlakas Neiros was. So every week, he made sure to take the call from this woman who wanted to know what time was Hadlakas Neiros on the Lower East Side. And you could even wonder, you know, the Gemara says that the reason why we paskin like Beis Hillel rather than Beis Shammai, because Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai had a lot of debates in Halacha. They had hundreds, maybe thousands of debates, and we always paskin, except for less than 10 cases, we paskin like Beis Hillel. So the Gemara says in Erevin, you know why that is? Because the Beis Hillel were nochin ze'ezeh b'halacha. They were very kind, very easygoing, they were very gracious. They were soft-spoken people. So you wonder if maybe part of the reason why Rav Moshe became literally the Posek Hador was because he was such a gracious person, because he was such a patient person. Nobody ever felt that he didn't have time for them. And yet, this was Rav Moshe's greatest challenge. It's amazing. It wasn't his challenge that he couldn't learn, you know, a Blat Gemara at 3 o'clock in the morning. That wasn't his challenge. Maybe it was. I don't know. But apparently, he said that his challenge was to become a patient person. And in that area specifically, when he worked on his patience, when he grew, that became his thing. Everybody knew that. And maybe that was part of the reason that he became such an accepted giant. So therefore, Rav Tzadok goes on, line P after the explanation. He quotes a Vayikra Rabbah. Shebe'ever shebo chata bo yasa mitzvos. You think that there's a particular area that you struggled with? In that limb, if you used your arm in an area that was unrefined, that was unredeemed, that was negative. So the Medrash says you should use that arm in something positive. Don't say, oh, you see, my arm is a failure, I'm going to cut it off. No, use it for something constructive. Take, Dr. Pelkovitz has a great line. He says, a setback is feedback. It's a good yesod. A setback is feedback. A failure doesn't mean that we should throw it away. It means, no. That setback is feedback that we need to work on that area. We need to focus on it. Says Reb Tzadok, Ve'ein ze rak tikun la'avera hakodemes. And this is not just fixing old averos. Mida keneged mida. Well, if I didn't treat somebody nicely with my hand, if somebody came to ask for a handout and I pushed them away with my hand, so now I have to figure out something nice to do with my hand. It's not just a mida keneged mida, it's a quid pro quo. Well, I did something negative, I'm going to fill it with something positive. He says it's more than that. Now we're on line Q at the end. Avol hu gam tikun nafsho bifrat. Ki kol echad, it's a fixing of a person's personal nefesh. Ki kol echad nivra l'sake eza davar prati. Every person is created to fix something. Asher bo nisyachta nafsho befrat la'in lachaver. And this is specific to your nefesh, ve'in lachaver. It doesn't have a friend. Meaning, your job is to fulfill your tafkid, and nobody else can do your tafkid. I would argue that what Reb Tzadok really means is that it's not one tafkid in your whole life. It's at any given moment you have a particular tafkid, you have a particular mission. You know, and those missions change. You know, when we're younger, we have, let's say, responsibilities to parents. And then those of us who become parents, when we're older, we have responsibilities to children. It means that we have different missions all the time. Every single day, we have a different mission. You know, today is Monday, so we have various things that we need to do on a Monday. So, and this Monday is going to be different than last Monday. Every moment, every stage in life, and every day, we go through different tikkunim. We have opportunities to fulfill our mission. So Reb Tzadok is saying is that when we find areas that need growth, we should view that as our tafkid for today. Because nobody else can fix that. Nobody else can raise that up. Nobody else can address that in the same way that I can. Because every one of us is unique. This is the teaching of Reb Tzadok HaKohen. So now Reb Volbi continues at the beginning of the next paragraph. Mizeh onu lomdim, from this we learn klal gadol, from this we learn a great klal, a great rule, how to relate to ourselves. How to look at ourselves. Behaskif osanu hayetzer, when the yetzer hara hits us, when we do that thing that we are anu mizbaishim b'fnei atzmeinu, we are embarrassed from ourselves. Or not just that we succumbed to listening to that voice that told us to do something that felt good at the moment, but we realized afterwards was really a stupid mistake. He says, not just that. Wait a second. We are a somebody. Each one of us has a mission from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you know why we feel bad when we fell short? It's not just because we felt bad, you know, because we did an Averus on Yom Kippur. We're going to have one more thing on the list of 10,000 things to clap al chayit for. That's one, you know, of course, we feel bad about that. We feel bad that we are, you know, now chayav, we're obligated to pay back the debt to the Ribbono Shel Olam. But that's not the real reason we feel bad, he says. We feel bad because we let ourselves down. Because we know that we're better than that. The Ribbono Shel Olam expects more of us. He's invested in us. What happens? Anu herzaknu. V, line V in the middle. Anu herzaknu es atzmeinu la'anashim ramei hamayla. We viewed ourselves as good people, as upstanding people. And then, when we lose it with someone, you know, when you get frustrated or we get angry at somebody, we look back at ourselves and we say, V'hine misoreres banu netiya shfela. This kind of, it's beneath us. We feel bad about ourselves not because of the harm that we did necessarily. Of course, we feel bad about that. But we feel bad about what kind of person we are. I don't know if this ever happened to anybody else, but once in a long while, maybe not such a long while, maybe I'll run out of patience with our wonderful children, Baruch Hashem. And if it happens to be that I lose it completely with one of them, and I'm not going to identify which one of them, could be anyone, I'm not going to specifically identify any one of them, what usually happens afterwards? I usually feel bad, let's be honest. I feel really bad that I lost it with one of the kids. But I don't just feel bad because now they got screamed at, which maybe I don't feel so bad about that part of it. Like, what happened to them? They probably deserved it, maybe. But I feel bad because I'm like, that's not the parent that I want to be. I don't want to be the parent that screams at their kid. So what Reb Volbi is saying is that when we make a mistake, we make an error in judgment, what we need to do now is not feel bad of ourselves and then put it away. What happens? What do we want to do? We want to run away from that. He says that's the opposite. What do we learn based on the teaching of Reb Tzadok? That if I lost it with my kid, then I need to really think about that. Why did that happen to me? Not just, well, what situation was I in that I shouldn't get in that situation? But also, what kind of person am I and how can I work on that? And maybe that means that my tafkid right now in life is to focus on, let's say, in this example, being a parent. That's going to be my tafkid. Nobody else can be a parent for my child. So that's my tafkid right now. So my tafkid is focusing on, why did this happen? Vihine, go to line Y. Dafka tkuva zu bilti nechonahi. If you try to throw it away and say, oh, you know, I feel like that was a total failure. I'm not going to go back to thinking about it. I'm not going to address it. He says, that's a bad thing. Ha'is oris ha'yetzer maralanu. When we lose it, that demonstrates to us, ki his alamnu mehashichvos ha'amukol shol nafshenu, that we are ignoring the depths of our souls. That we need to work on ourselves. If we just say, oh, you're right, you know, it was a big mistake, I'm not going to do it again, and I move on, without really addressing where it came from, he says, we're ignoring our deep selves. The next line, third line of the paragraph, in that way that the Yetzer Hara came about, that flash of anger, that frustration, or that whatever it is, Semelhi, it is an indication, le'inyan ruchani, to a spiritual issue, hatzarech takana, that needs fixing. We need to pay attention to that. The setback is a feedback. So if we're failing in a certain area, don't run away from it, run to it. Think about it. He says, for example, on the next line, as somebody who is a strong learner, who decides in the middle that, you know, he's just not inspired anymore. So he needs to think about, where is that coming from? Why is that the struggle that he's having now? All of us have struggles, right? We spoke about that last time. That's not something we should be afraid of. That's not something we should be embarrassed about. We should recognize the fact that we have struggles and that we have challenges and that we have Yetzaharas. If you don't have a Yetzahara, you're probably not living. So he says, rather, go down, halfway down this paragraph, Simenu, these kinds of things are an indication. They're a siman. They're a sign. Kashichvos ho'amukos benafsho. The levels that are deep in the soul. Mitachas l'saf hakaraso. Underneath the threshold of recognition, subconscious. Terem hishlimu im hasmadaso. V'chi olav l'asam lev aleim v'lafisosam. There's something unsettled about him, that he's not, this boy who wants to leave the yeshiva, he has to figure out why that is. You know, you can obviously always externalize the rationale. You can always say, oh, it's this person's fault and it's that person's fault. But if something is happening that I'm struggling with, I should introspect. I should think about it. So what do you do? Last three lines, and with this we'll conclude. Ketzad, end of the line, Ketzad mefaisim es hakochos hanafshim. So how do you appease, how do you address these energies in our soul that we're struggling with, that we have challenges that we're going to direct, we're going to meet them head on? He says, al yedei masa umatan imatzmo. What's masa umatan? It's business. It's transactions. It's thinking. It's engaging imatzmo with yourself. You know when a good time to do that is? Davening. Davening is the few minutes that people leave us alone. We can put away our phones. We can stand in the corner. And davening is a great time to think about where we're holding. Each bracha is a little barometer. If I'm not saying Rifa'enu, it means that Rifu is not really so much of an issue going on right now. But if I really think about the people who are in need, so I'm going to say Rifa'enu with a little more kavan. And each one of these brachas, you know, you can think about, well, where's Atachoni La'adam Das? Das is a good one. They're all good. But Das is a good one for self-reflection, because Das means you give somebody insight. So I need insight in relationships, in dealing with various situations, in navigating the world. Well, when I'm thinking about, I'm asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help me in that, well, why am I struggling with that? What is it about me that needs a tikkun in this particular area? And this doesn't mean, this goes back to where we started, it doesn't mean that everything that happens is our fault. It doesn't mean that a struggle is attributed to something that I did wrong. Sometimes the Yetzer is an indication of that, but sometimes it's just an opportunity to be misakin ourselves. And by the way, that doesn't necessarily mean that the other people aren't wrong. It could be that somebody did wrong me. It could be that somebody did put me in this bad situation. The question is, how do I view it for myself? How am I growing from this experience? Right. So there's the Yetzer Hara component, and then there's the general challenge component. He says, just think about it with yourself. L'shachnea kochos eila. Last three lines, behechrechius v'hasmada. To convince these parts of your personality with intense focus, ki'ilu ha-mishtachnea ha-ya'odam acher she'tzrichim l'shachna'o. Just like convincing somebody else. Sometimes a friend will call you up and say, oh, I'm really struggling with this problem. It's a close friend, so they'll be willing to open up to you. So you give them advice, you try to help them identify. You know, if somebody's very close to you, and all of a sudden you're struggling with relationships with 10 different friends, so if you call a close friend who really knows you, they might be willing to tell you, you know, you kind of haven't been treating people so nicely. And maybe if you gave them the time of day, or maybe if you wouldn't only call them when you were needy, if you called them when you wanted to check in on them, whatever, whatever, v'cheina, v'cheina. So if you have a close friend or a family member, whoever it is, so they can give you that advice. So Rav Volbi says, you know what the opportunity is? When we struggle with that, we should think of ourselves as if we were somebody else. Let's give ourselves the same advice we would give somebody else. If somebody else was struggling with this issue, we would probably tell them, yeah, you know, if 10 friends don't want to talk to you, maybe you want to think about, let's take a step back. You know, get away from everybody for a half hour. I'm a big fan, not to say that I don't love people. I do love people, but sometimes I'm a big fan of getting away from people once in a while, usually in the summertime. I'll go for a couple of hours when I'm by myself. I'll go to Lake Michigan or I'll go somewhere else. You know, just you need to get away from people just to think about, you know, where you're holding and how you're doing. So what Rav Volbi is telling us from Reb Tzadok is that when we go through challenges in life, and specifically when we go through areas where the Yetzirah is picking at us, those are opportunities for self-reflection, to become better people, not to blame others and say, well, you know, I lost it to my kids because, you know, they were jumping on their bed for the 71st time. They were jumping on their bed for the 71st time. But that doesn't mean that that's the kind of person that I want to be. So I'm going to use that as an opportunity to reflect, not to be ashamed of myself and run away from it, because Reb Tzadok says, that's the area that I need to focus on. That's my mission right now. If it's being a sister or a parent or a spouse or whatever that is going to, whatever form that takes, we shouldn't run away from it and we shouldn't ignore it. Rather, we should contemplate it. We should contemplate it, and we should really engage it so we can think about what kind of people we want to be and how we can come up with the strategies to address those things. So I hope everybody has a terrific week. Have a great day. Thanks for coming. New piece next week.